Welcome to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that is not just information, but impartation and activation. This podcast offers supernatural conversations that will encourage and equip you to live the Spirit-empowered life. Fireborn Ministries exists to see Jesus awaken this generation to the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen in to this powerful and encouraging conversation and share this episode of Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky. And welcome to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky. Guys, I am so pumped. I'm full of the Holy Spirit right now. I just spent a couple of days in Waxahachie, Texas with the National Apostles and Prophets Conference and Roundtable. It was amazing. We also celebrated Bishop Bill Hammond's 70th year of ministry. 70 years. Guys, such an impactful, amazing legacy that he has left, has for all of us, guys. I mean, we're still following out. Here he is, 88, 89 years old, 70 years of ministry. Got to celebrate that and had him pray over me. I took my son, Zechariah, who is just, at the time of this recording, returned from Madagascar just a month ago or so ago. And so he went with me. We had a very awesome time, father, son, and also hanging out with the apostles and prophets. And I got to share about Adventures in the Spirit. And I did something totally different. I gave everybody my phone number. Guys, I'm so excited for my guest today. I've got Ron Jolson. He's got this amazing, amazing book out called An Unexpected Journey from Head to Heart. I got to spend nine holes of golf. Now, guys, I need you to know this. I play best ball. I need lessons in this. So if anybody out there wants to help me out, please point me in the right direction because I love golf. I just haven't played it enough, probably 10 times in my life. But I got to hang out with Prophet John Natale and Ron Jolson, get to know each other, get to know, hang out and have breakfast and just have a great time while we, John Natale and I, did the conference over here. But Ron Jolson was the CIO of Northwestern Mutual. He's got an extensive list of experience in finance. And so we're talking today about kingdom economics and his story. So please help me welcome Ron Jolson to Adventures in Spirit. Welcome, Ron.
Hey, Jared. Good to be with you.
Well, it's an honor. It's a pleasure to have you on, brother. And I love your book. And when I met, I think, honestly, dude, it was just like we connected. Did I just call you dude? My
apologies. That's all good. Kingdom dude is better, but that's
Kingdom
fine.
Dude, I love it. Ron, love to have you share your story. How did you come to Christ?
Wow. And that actually is what that book was all about. You know, I grew up in a Jewish household. My father was the chief economist for General Electric for many years. I learned finance and economics at home. And let me tell you, I started off with a pretty nice career working in major insurance companies, Prudential, Genworth, and finally Northwestern Mutual. And I didn't feel like I needed Christ. I didn't need anything, really. I was on my way, and I had been given all the tools I needed and had a pretty decent career. But early in that career, at a certain point in time when I had kids, my wife and I had a major discussion about how to bring them up. And we were going to bring them up as Jews, actually, even though she was a Christian. But she commented that, you know, I do want to celebrate Christmas, and I felt it was only fair, you know, that we would have that one thing for her. Absolutely. And so I said, if we're going to do that, I better find out who this Jesus Christ guy is. I thought Jesus was his first name and Christ was his second name. I didn't know anything. And so I started reading. I started with the book of Matthew, and I got into Old Testament and prophecy, and pretty soon I became to realize that he, in fact, was the Jewish Messiah. And I had this tremendous dilemma on my hands, which is I'm not going back, and I got to figure out how to tell my family. And what that was, and that was a whole other part of it, which is, you know, a Jewish family rejecting somebody who believes in Christ, which, by the way, is fascinating. Judaism is actually defined by Jesus Christ. You know, you can be an atheist and be Jewish. You can be agnostic. You can be a Buddhist and be Jewish. You could be almost anything except believe in Christ, which is interesting, right? So the Lord, our Lord, actually even defines Judaism in a way, if you think about it. That's just how powerful he is. But anyway, so I started with a head knowledge and then eventually worked my way toward the heart. And really, he became a personal savior for me. And my family ended up being okay, which was a remarkable miracle in my part. So I'm still very close with my family. They are not believers, but my direct family is. My wife and my children all are. So I'm very blessed that way.
Amen. Well, you've also got this extensive experience in finance. You are in your refirement now. So congratulations, refirement. God is not done with you yet. He's opening up doors for ministry in the business world. You were the chief investment officer to Northwestern Mutual. I'd love for you to kind of share how, just share kind of what's on your heart about all that.
Yeah. So, you know, very exciting. I started out as a chief investment. Well, I started out learning investments at Prudential coming out of school. And it was that early period when I actually became a Christian. But I worked my way up through that company and eventually became their chief investment officer and did that for 7 years. Then I moved over to Genworth, which is another company. I was their chief investment officer for about 4 or 5 years. And then the Lord led me to Northwestern Mutual, which is actually, I can see now, was a very, very important move, because not only was that the most impactful from a professional perspective, but I got involved in, and still am very much involved with, the Northwestern Mutual Christian Fellowship Community, which is 10,000 strong and around the country, very Christ-centered. And it has become a real marketplace ministry for me, and the basis of a lot of work in terms of bringing Christ into the marketplace, which is really where my heart is. And so I will often talk to people about how our faith aligns with our work, how where we work is really our ministry. And I know that's fairly common, but you'd be surprised how many people in business don't get that. They are still Sunday Christians. They view that as a small part of their lives that they just carve out. I call them tithing Christians. And what I mean by that is they only give 10% of their life to Christ. Ooh. Ooh. We don't want to be tithing Christians, not that way. We want to be tithing Christians from a financial perspective, but we want to give him all of our lives. And so that is an issue that resonates and that I deal with in the marketplace. But then also it's about kingdom. And so we have many, and this is what I really love, is we have many, many people who, they're saved, they get salvation, but the Holy Spirit is not alive and well in their day-to-day lives. I'll say it that way. And so what we try to do is bring kingdom into the marketplace. And that's a nice, interesting twist. And it shows up in various ways. We had regular Bible study that we do with various offices around the country, and I run one of them. And in that study, a word of knowledge came up. Mm-hmm. And so we don't call it that, but we talk about, I think the Lord is saying this. And all of a sudden, people are getting exposed to the Spirit in a way they never had. Or there might be, we had a dinner. I had a dinner a number of months ago, and we had incredible healing that night. And I just stood up and said, and this was a group of, Catholics and Methodists, and they had never seen anything like this before. What we had in common was our belief in Christ. And at this dinner, I stood up and I said, I'm getting this sense that the Lord wants to show us something a little bit outside of the box. Would people be open to seeing something tonight? And everybody's like, yeah, okay. And then I said, well, I get the sense there are some people that have some health issues that need some healing. 5 hands shot up. And sitting next to me was a gentleman who was the one Spirit-filled guy in our whole system that I knew, happened to be sitting next to me that night, which was incredible. He ran the healing rooms in Grand Rapids, okay? Just a really interesting guy, and has done healing, most of his professional life. His name is Mark Gurley. By the way, his great grandfather was was Abraham Lincoln's pastor and helped him write the Emancipation proclamation. This guy is like, his family goes way back. Anyway, so he's sitting next to me and I said, so Mark, I got this word, take over. And he proceeds, and I recorded the whole thing. He proceeds to not only conduct the healing, but he's teaching everybody, like, where in scripture, you know, by his stripes, we are healed. What does that mean? And so he's teaching as he's demonstrating. And he said, now you guys think it's me doing this. You don't need me. He directed somebody on the table to lay hands on the person next to him who had a lower back problem. And, you know, Mark says, do you feel anything? The guy goes, yeah, it's really hot. It's like, that guy was healed. So, I mean, the Lord did an amazing thing, but really demonstrating that it wasn't Mark at all. And so that's just the kind of thing that when that happens, the Lord does a thing like that and you get really charged up. And that's when you realize the marketplace ministry is, you know, God's ministry.
You can hear God's voice and prophesy. Every person with the Spirit of God living in them can be used by God for entry-level prophecy. Entry-level prophecy is the starting point of an incredible adventure in hearing God's voice and prophesying. Prophecy encourages, comforts, and edifies people. And our heart is to equip and educate you to hear God and prophesy, walking it out as a lifestyle. And that's why we created Entry-Level Prophecy eCourse on charismacourses.com. Through this powerful eCourse, you will be equipped to hear God and to prophesy. You will gain the necessary biblical understanding needed to take a step of faith and speak what you hear God saying to see people encouraged, comforted, and edified. In this course, you'll learn about the fruit of the Spirit, the character traits of God, how to receive and deliver a prophecy, how to judge a prophecy, and what foundation you need to prophesy, and what heart motivations are necessary to prophesy. When you enroll in this e-course, you'll also have access to bonus materials and our live coaching sessions. Go to charismacourses.com to purchase Entry-Level Prophecy and learn how to hear God's voice and prophesy.
Well, Ron, God's up to something. God is up to something just even now, because just 2 days ago, I'm in Texas at the Apostles and Prophets, National Apostles and Prophets Roundtable.
Yes.
And someone introduced me via text to your friend, Mark Early.
Mark?
Mark Early. He's going to be on this podcast.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. So you're taught, and I'm like, what are the chances? I'm feeling the Holy Spirit right now. Whoo! I felt that. Wow.
Wow.
This is divine. So, Ron, you've got, so, oh man. Jesus, love you. Bless everybody out there in the marketplace. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Touch them, empower them right where they are, Lord God. Ron, share a couple more testimonies. I just want to pass you the football. Be like, share a couple more testimonies, and then what is on your heart about kingdom economics and what you shared the other day with me about investing, about people, you know, the doom and gloom that some people have. And, you know, I think we're in for a rough political year, and there's been some things, but we fear not. So I'd love for you to share what God has shown you about the days ahead and the economy.
Okay. We'll do both of those things. I'll give you one more God story. So actually, again, back to Mark. So Mark and I were scheduled to speak at what we call a network office meeting, which is one of our 70 local offices. And we were able to really spend some time in the morning of that session talking about Christian kingdom things, which in and of itself is amazing. Here you've got a business meeting and the head of the office says, who is a Christian, says, hey, why don't you guys speak in the morning, which we did. But the night before, when we were together, I was getting all these pains in my leg, and I didn't know what it was. And Mark said, gee, I wonder whether we're going to experience some, you know, healings in that part of the body tomorrow. And maybe that's what that is, which, as we know, or, you know, that can happen. So sure enough, the next day we're giving this talk, and Mark says, does anybody need healing? Two guys raised their hand. They both had problems with their left leg, which is where I had the pain. So, I mean, you know, you read about this stuff, but when it actually happens, it's pretty incredible. And so And sadly, dumb me, so many things happened between those two points in time. I had forgotten about it, and I could have mentioned that to the entire group, it was a little bit of a teaching on healing, and we all forgot about it until afterwards. We're like, what? We were told this was going to happen. So that was a pretty interesting moment as well. I think what's exciting is that, you know, in a kingdom perspective, when you're talking to people who are maybe marginal Christians, maybe they're new, maybe they've never heard about any of these things before, sometimes we get scared, but we need to listen to the Spirit, and we need to be bold. And I learned this we had a kind of a school of the prophets in my local church, and we did an activation. I'll never forget. It was so impactful to me, and it really started me on this, Jared. And you're probably familiar with this kind of thing, but I wasn't. Where you kind of team up with somebody and you pray to God and you say, give me a word for this person I'm with. And what's so beautiful about that is it's such a safe thing, right? So you really, nobody's going to be upset if like you come up with nothing. Or if you come up with something that's not relevant, and you feel empowered to share. And so I did that, and I ended up having this word for this guy that was so specific. It involved like a treasure chest and money flowing out of it and a vacation in the Caribbean. And he just looks at me and he goes, I've been saving up for 2 years to go on this vacation in the Caribbean. And my treasure chest is just full. I'm going to be going next in the 6 months. And there was no use for that other than for the Lord to like empower me to realize that, yeah, I do give you, I do speak to you. You just need to be a little bit bold. And so the Lord has kind of been so active, and I just feel more bold than I ever have. And in the marketplace, that just can take on all different kinds of things. And there's no formula. It could be a healing. It could be a word of knowledge. And it could also be a discussion about what's going on in the world from an economic perspective. And maybe that's a good transition, Jared, to the second part of this.
Yeah, totally. So the economy, I mean, you've been in the finance world for years. My eldest son, who just returned from YOM, he's lining an internship up already. This is the world that he is called into. So once this episode drops, I'm sending it to him, because he doesn't listen to everything that I do. But it's been on your heart because there's some doom and gloom. It's an election year. Yes. Some people are talking about gold. Some people are talking about crypto. I've got a little bit of money in Coinbase or something, right? Yeah. Bitcoin has skyrocketed because now there's like the ETFs or something from the SEC. Yes. And, you know, like I had 40 bucks and now it's like 100. Okay. Like it's not much. Okay, I just open it up. I'm just a stupid guy. Oh, I'll try it. Anyway, I don't know much about it. Yeah. But there's crypto, there's gold, there's people talking about a Great Depression coming. You know, I do believe that we're in a war already. Mm-hmm. With communications and propaganda and everything that's going on as the world is shifting power or whatever. But you have a totally, you've got your finger on the pulse.
Right.
And you've got insight from God. So I'd love for you to just share your heart about that.
Yeah. And those things can conflict sometimes. So I've really had to think hard about how to weave the knowledge that I do have and come up with a kind of consistent worldview of what I think is going on. And it's very difficult to know what's going on because the information that's out there is most of it is nonsense. And so you can really go crazy. So I start with some basics. You know, I think of two things. I think of Israel and I think of the United States. Israel being that country that God chose and the Israelites chose. And by the way, I'm one of those too. So I kind of have that background. But the United States is really the only country in the world that actually chose God in its formation, I believe. And so that these are really, really important facts. And of course, we know that any country that blesses Israel will be blessed and anyone that doesn't will not be. So far, with some exceptions, so far we have been a country that has blessed Israel. And I think that God will honor that. And that, by the way, is the most important thing about the next election. It is less so about the economy, and people are going to find that insane. But I have studied presidents going all the way back and economic trends. And guess what? Whoever is in the White House has very little to do, believe it or not, with how the markets do. It is much more where we are in the cycle, the economic cycle, that determines. And you can have conservative presidents and you can have liberal presidents. And depending on where you've been in the cycle, that is really what determines how the economy and how the markets do as a result. And I can even show you statistical data that minimizes the impact that a president has. Now, having said that, from a spiritual perspective, it's much more important. The head of a country has an impact, I think, on how God views that country. But he looks at other things as well. He looks at the Supreme Court, things like Roe v. Wade. He's looking at things like, how different states are handling abortion and all of these things. I think that we are in this period of time where we're getting a precursor of what things could look like at the end times, but I don't think we're there yet. I believe that we are in a place where we're likely to see Trump, I'm just going to come right out and say it, Trump elected, and assuming that does happen, that there will be somewhat of a return. Remember how quickly things happened when he was elected the first time? People started saying Merry Christmas immediately. And it's a little thing, but it's not a little thing because there was a real spiritual change. I'm seeing what's happening in the marketplace, a lot of the woke stuff that resulted in kind of going too far with diversity, equity, and inclusion has become pulled back in major companies. My son works at JP Morgan. He said it's very interesting. They may still believe in those things, but they're not pushing them the same way they were. My own companies that I've worked for are not pushing those things the same way. From a Christian perspective, you can actually talk to leaders of companies and say, I understand what you're doing with this diversity movement. It's great in the sense that you're honoring all these different groups, but Christians are important too. And they've become one of those groups now, okay, that are being honored. So we're seeing this movement back. And I think this is all really important backdrop because when corporate America starts to swing the pendulum back to what I say are values that are consistent with the Christian worldview, that is a good fact that we need to keep in mind. And so there are two, we talked about this a little before, there are two sort of prophetic narratives that are out there. One is where the end times, the world's coming to an end, put all your money in Bitcoin, put all your money in gold, put all your money because the financial system's going to hell. And by the way, we're going to have this digital currency now. And so they're going to be able to close down your bank accounts and all of those things. Okay, that's one view. Another view that's out there is things have gotten pretty bad. All right. We are no question closer to an end times, but it looks like that this country that has honored Israel is not quite finished yet. And by the way, if you look around the world, there really is not another place that you can point to that has the same economic viability that we have, and also still has the spiritual base. Now you're seeing spiritual rebirth in places like China and other things, but those countries are still headed by individuals that are so anti-God that I don't think you're going to see one of those countries emerge as the global leader, at least not yet. And so my message to people is don't live in fear. Don't go out and buy all this gold and all those commodities. It's always good to have some, right? But there are people that are out there that are like taking their whole life savings and they're putting it in Bitcoin and gold. I think that's not a good idea. I don't think this country is by any means finished. Looking at the economic numbers, looking at the GDP numbers, looking at pure economic sense, there's still a lot of confidence in this country. And even when people talk about other currencies and other countries as being the reserve currency, they don't mean it in their practices. They may say they price oil in euros or another currency, but they immediately do the calculation back to dollars because they kind of know that the dollar is still the way to go. Wow. And I believe it will be. And if you're buying gold, until you can sell your gold at the supermarket or use it to purchase goods in the supermarket, you're going to have to convert it at some point. And if you have swaths of people selling their gold to get currency to buy things in supermarkets, there's going to be a push on gold that you're not going to like, because it's an illiquid commodity without a real generating thing behind it, right? When you buy stocks of company, you've got the earnings of a company behind it. When you buy a currency, you usually have the country's GDP behind it. But if you're buying Bitcoin, the only reason it has value is because Jared bought it from somebody else. The only reason why gold has value is because Ron bought it from somebody else. There's no intrinsic value in those things. So you want to be really careful about putting so much of your wealth in things that are only have value because somebody else said, I think that's an interesting thing to buy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I believe very much in strong diversification. Don't count the U.S. out. You should, despite what you're hearing, because that's a big narrative out there. If you want to have a percent, like I have less than 10% of my money in commodity type things. I wouldn't, because I don't believe that they're actually particularly good inflation hedges. And by the way, if you really think the world is going to go to you, there's going to be no place to hide. I promise you. Right. When we get to the end times, let's say you don't believe in pre-trib, you're not going to be able to hide. That's just the reality of it. Now, you don't want to do stupid things, so you want to stay diversified, but don't count the U.S. economy out yet. There's too many strong global indicators of it. I think there's a good spiritual reason. God is giving this country a chance to redeem itself, and there are little indicators that we may well do that. Now, we know the end will be the end, but I think we're a ways away from that. And there's a number of prophetic voices that agree with that, by the way.
Right. Well, what are, like, say, two or three things that a Christian could do now after kind of hearing what you have to say? What can they do to be secure?
Yeah. There's no financial thing that you're going to be able to do to be completely secure. Okay. And this is where your faith has to be strong. You don't want to act in fear. What you want to do is be smart, but don't try to plug every hole. You're not going to be able to do it. And in fact, if you invest out of fear more, you will do things that don't make sense. I'll give you a quick example. I had a guy I talked to who said, Ron, the world's coming to an end. In my view, I'm putting all of my money in gold, is what he said. And I said, okay, what do you think the probability? Oh, and he said, the dollar's going to lose its reserve currency. I said, all right, what do you think the probability of that is? And he goes, 20%. I said, that's a huge number. He goes, I know, I believe it. I said, okay, well, let's talk about the other 80% of the outcomes. Do you think that's a smart investment for you? And he goes, well, no, not really. 80% of the time, the U.S. will continue to run where it's going to be. And I said, okay, but you just took your entire portfolio and you played to the fear and you invested over the thing you're worried about. You have to take a much more global view, or else you're going to be burned 80% of the time. And this happens all the time. Throughout history, investors have, when they go into a fear cycle, they move their portfolios, usually selling at the wrong time. They usually sell at the bottom because fear increases when the markets have tanked. So they sell at the worst time, usually put it into something that's expensive because everybody else is afraid too. So you bought, you sell low, you buy high, and then when it all blows over and now you go to retirement, you really don't have much. And so we want to stay away from that. So you ask the question, what can we do? So what we want to do is we want to remember to be very diversified. And also, let's not forget the biblical principles that are out there, okay? So I can't find it right now, but I forgot the one of the Proverbs talks about not being, you know, don't get rich quick and take your time, which is absolutely tried and true. I wanted to read it to you. I don't know why I don't have it. But in any case, it is a tried and true principle. You will not get wealthy and do well as a Christian or anyone else if you don't put money aside every year and have compounding work for you for decades. That is the way to get safety. That is the way to achieve wealth. You want to eliminate debt, sorry, except for a mortgage, which I can tell you why I think that's okay. But everything else, you don't want to live on debt. And that's another thing that we do is, if you're going to pray to the Lord for whether I should buy this or not, if you don't have the resources, the Bible says the borrower is slave to the lender. If you're borrowing money to get it, you've already been given an answer. You just don't like the answer. So you borrow the money and you get it. So we need to start going back to biblical principles about leverage. We need to go back to principles about putting money aside. I like broad market investing, like mutual funds. I like to mix it up with bond funds. By the way, bonds give you decent value right now. This morning, the 10-year treasury was at, 4.23. If you buy strong corporate bonds, you can get more than 5% in the corporate market. You can do pretty well in the muni market if you're in a high tax bracket. So mixtures of equities and mutual funds, fixed income in order to keep that stability. Those are sort of classic things. A little bit in commodities is a good thing too. But just remember, when you have diversified portfolios, you will always have an asset class that doesn't do well. I usually, when I speak in front of a group, I say, how many of you believe in diversification? Every hand goes up. I said, well, what would you do if you have this diversified portfolio next year and gold went down 10% and equities went up 20%? What would you do? Oh, well, we'd probably lighten up the gold and we'd buy the equities. Well, see, you say you believe in diversification, but you actually don't. Because when one of your assets doesn't do well, right away you think, oh, I made a mistake. No, diversification means you will have some assets that do well and some that won't do well. And if you decide every time it doesn't do well, not only are you selling at the wrong time, but you've given up your diversification, and now you've put all your money in that one asset. And so that people, these are simple concepts, but people forget. And they let that fear overtake the common sense. So common sense is you spread your money out. I don't believe in buying individual stocks. Look, I ran a $350 billion portfolio. I never bought a single stock for myself. Why is that? Because you can always have what's called idiosyncratic risk. You can always have fraud in a company. You can always have something happen to one company. I will never buy a single stock because I don't know when that's going to happen. So I will always buy mutual funds or ETFs, so just a wide variety stocks. Same thing with bonds. I might buy a bond ladder because I'm willing to do the credit risk. Most people are not. There's nothing wrong with bond funds. Now, people will say, oh, but if interest rates go up, you lose value in the fund. Well, you just hold on to it because time ultimately repairs a bond fund. So these are basic principles. There's a lot of seed time and harvest in there, meaning you got to give things time. When rates move and bond funds go down, wait it out. If you have an equity portfolio, you shouldn't have that if your time horizon is less than 5 years. And if your time horizon is 10 years or more, don't worry about the market going down. Make sure you're in these broad funds that have decent track records. And you will be fine over a long period of time. And so I also mix a little international with U.S., but not too much. I'm more U.S. Centric because of the principles we talked about before. Mm-hmm. But you're never going to see me in Bitcoin, even though it's done really well this year. Why is that? Those volatile swings have nothing to do with underlying intrinsic value. They have everything to do with fear and emotion. And I don't like that. I don't think that's a good basis for investing. So you're not going to hear me suggest it, particularly if you your life savings. Now, your funny money, okay, something you don't mind losing, go for it. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, what might I play a little bit in? Sure. But it's got to be money I'm willing to lose tomorrow. If I'm not willing to lose it, I am not putting my money in. So I don't know if that's broad enough or detailed enough.
I love it. You're talking kingdom. You're encouraging people because, yeah, I'm in agreement with you. And you're sharing things that we need to hear, especially in this day and age, because people make money and stupid decisions off of fear.
They really do. And the whole gold thing. And I mean, I got really sad when I see a lot of people. I don't want to mention names, but like a really popular, well-known prophetic voice saying, and with everything going on in the world, this is the only commodity firm I trust, so-and-so gold. And I purchased all of that. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's amazing, because this same prophetic voice that said that also said, and I, you know, I believe this country is in for revival, U.S., that with Trump coming in, we're going to see a return to a lot of those things. And I'm like, how can you say that? And you just told everybody to buy gold. It's like you're playing both of these things at once. You're playing into a fear, and yet your prophetic voice is telling you that we're actually going to go in the right direction. And it is true that as evil comes up, so does our faith, so does Christ. And so we are seeing that right now, right? This is a time you can share your faith. People react like that. They need it. They want it. It's amazing. At the same time, we're seeing what's going on in schools, and we're seeing what's going on. It's horrible, right? So these things are happening at the same time. I get that, but it doesn't mean that you say, all right, we're going to go in this direction from our spiritual life, but then we're going to like sell all of our investments and buy gold over here.
Right. Well, Ron, this is actually part one of what will be two episodes with you. Because we really wanted to discuss some of these things. But what is the best way for people to get more information about you, get your book, or try to connect with you?
So the book will actually be on Amazon in just like a week. I'm not sure when we're broadcasting this. It may be by the time people hear this, it may already be out. So you'll be able to get it on Amazon. I changed the title actually from what you have. That's actually the first edition. I made a second edition and included, it's called An Unexpected Journey. But now we're calling it Into the Heart of God instead of From Head to Heart. And it's got a nice new cover and all of those good things. But I added a chapter, and I really debated this. That book is something you could hand to, you know, an unbeliever, because it gives a lot of things like prophecy and science in the Bible and all of these different areas that were important to me when I became a Christian. But I decided, you know, things are moving quickly, and I wanted to put a little more kingdom in there. So in the second edition, I have the last chapter on miracle signs and wonders. And I just basically told the stories of a bunch of things that I've seen in the last couple of years, because I've only been really spirit-filled since like 2019. Wow. Like up until that point, I thought all this stuff, I was a cessationist. Okay. Absolutely. I didn't believe in any of this stuff. Jared, I thought you were nuts if I knew you. yeah. And everybody else. And you're all susceptible to psychiatric, you know, the crowd theory and all of that. So, yeah, people are swooning in large crowds because other people are, and that kind of thing. Yeah. So until I saw it, until I experienced personal healing when my wife laid hands on me at one point, and then I'm like, wow, this really is real. And then words of knowledge came and all of that. Now I can't even believe what I used to believe. But in any case, so the new edition of the book does have a chapter on miracle signs and wonders. And, you know, if somebody thinks, wow, I don't want to give that to somebody who's brand new, then the edition you have might be a little better, but I think it's gentle enough that anybody will can read the new edition. It'll be just fine. And you know, we want to be sensitive to not giving meat when milk is required. And I think the book overall does that. So if you do an Amazon search under my name, Ron Jolson, or An Unexpected Journey into the Heart of God, it will show up. And I believe it's going to be out. I'm just going to say by the end of March, the last week in March, it should be ready to go. So that's that. I also put in there my email address. If anybody wants to, you know, talk to me about maybe a marketplace ministry kind of event or idea, and I'm open to what that could look like. I want to be led by the Spirit on that. I obviously I've spoken to large groups and led Bible studies and can talk about kingdom finance, maybe principles. And the other thing is personal finance, which is really, you know, how to think about things like debt, how to think about, you know, compounding and seed time and harvest, workplace. What does that mean? How does your faith, what does that mean in there? Like, for example, the Hebrew word for work is actually worship. It has the root word from worship. So there's a real concept of our work can actually be a form of our worship if we just think about it a little differently. So things like that. So I put my email in the book. So if people want to reach out, be happy to talk about different things and see where the Spirit leads.
Yeah. And I'd also like to refer people to ChristianFellowshipCommunity.org. Mm-hmm. Yep. ChristianFellowshipCommunity.org. You guys are in the marketplace reaching people for Jesus. You share.
In fact, my email, ron.jolson@christianfellowshipcommunity.org, will also work.
Awesome. Yeah. And I just love what it is that you're doing. And it was an honor and a pleasure to meet you, to hang out with you, and see what God is doing in you and read your book. So, guys, this is part one of what will be two episodes with Ron Jolson, because this is. We need to hear these things, guys. We need to hear what Ron has to say, his wisdom, his experience. I mean, he mentioned managing $350 billion. This is kingdom, okay? And if you're listening to this, God can use you for his glory right where you are, in whatever sphere that you are in. Ron, can you pray for us right now?
I will, but I just got a quick word that I think we need to share, which is I'm getting the sense that some people will have some really specific questions. And can I suggest, if we're going to do a part two, that we have them email those questions to you, Jared?
Yeah.
And we might make that a part of the second one.
Love to. So they could email me at Jared, J-A-R-E-D, at firebornministries.com. That's Jared at firebornministries.com. So send in your questions and we'll ask Ron.
Awesome.
And pick his brain for all the wisdom and experience he has.
So, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for this time together. I thank you for my brother, Jared, and just, Lord, that you made this happen, putting us together. And, Father, we just want to go wherever you want us to go in kingdom finance. Father, we just want to be open, and I just want to bless listeners, too. Those of you that are listening and you have a heart for the Lord, but you also have your own businesses, your own work, your own ministry, or your own livelihoods, and you want to mesh those together. Father, we just pray now that you would help each individual through the Holy Spirit and help them to see Jesus Christ in their work lives and what you have for them in terms of ministering to others. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Guys, thank you so very much for listening to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky. Subscribe, share, post it, whatever it is you have to do to spread the word. We're on an incredible fifth season, over 500,000 downloads for the glory of Jesus. People receive healing. People have received salvation through this. People have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Numerous things seen in the Spirit just by listening in or even watching on YouTube or Rumble or all the other places. But I have a free PDF available for you. By a step of faith, I'm going to make this happen before this episode drops. I'm going to have a free download about kingdom finance. Okay, I don't even know the title of it, but I'm going to drop that in here as a free PDF available for you. Thank you so very much, Ron, for being my special guest on Adventures in the Spirit.
Thank you so much for listening to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that activates you to live the supernatural life. Subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Leave a 5-star rate and review, which helps us reach more people with the love and power of the Holy Spirit, and partner with us at firebornministries.com. And may you live your best spirit-empowered life and have your own adventures in the Holy Spirit.